These are eggs. Quick whisk, no risk, protein punch, power lunch, bake for dinner, easy winner, fed the lot, hit the spot, eggs. And why pick up more eggs when you're shopping? Because there are more ways to enjoy them. Like bacon and mushroom fried rice with poached eggs, delicious sautéed potatoes with spinach and eggs, or everyone's favourite, a simple cheese omelette for lunch. So versatile, so nourishing. And always choose eggs with a Board Bia quality mark for the highest standards verified at every stage. Eggs, crack on.
On the latest episode of Real Health with me, Carl Henry, I'm delighted to be joined by Dr. Ava Orsmond, chatting all things life lessons.
People often say to me when they come to my clinics, and now especially when they come to the hotel, they are like, you know, Ava, you are not the persona the TV have, made you to be. And actually, sometimes I'm thinking, my God, that's terribly sad that there is that negative. There's some people who absolutely don't like me because what they saw in television.
As ever, it's available on all podcast platforms.
Seachtain, an Indo Askeilige.
Time I mon iarachtaí a dhéanamh teacht ar a chorp, agus súlagam amach an seo, gur féidir é a chur in uaig ceart lena bhaintir féin.
Scíltaí, fios, tuairimí.
Tá sé dochreite nach bhféadfach ara i gcuir na meáin an cheist sin a eicáil.
Bhí an talam ag gnám go raibh orthcháir na reachtam. Iadach sé tarrin grúvan ar cárstan i lis dúhal agus gimine fnacht gór a clig sár dúchas in éachar. Nau ni vin aún dár dárach sé sin, vin marav.
Seachtain. Find us on all the usual podcast platforms.
Today's Indo Daily is brought to you from our sister podcast, The Bell Tell.
More than £2 million remains missing after a string of ATM thefts.
For the guts of over a year, these people were basically pulling cash machines out every other week.
The raids were all carried out by the same notorious gang, mainly in County Antrim.
They have said that the reason why there is so many of these ATM thefts is it is almost like a perfect crime.
They managed to get away with it for 2 years. Such was their success, their methods were widely copied.
This gang sparked a million copycat gangs, and we had other gangs that were operating along the border and then were disappearing across the border. We have other people who are still coming through the court.
Greed eventually got the better of them. They robbed a machine beside a PSNI station, ultimately leading to them getting caught.
So they stole a digger from literally right beside Antrim PSNI station. They drove it right round the perimeter of the police station to the Tesco at the back of it, and pulled the cash machines out of the Tesco there.
But only a tiny fraction of what they stole has ever been recovered.
The money is still a lot. £160,000, we're told, was confiscated or seized. The rest of that money, I have no idea where it is.
I'm joined by our security correspondent, Alison Morris. Alison, who are these? Who is this gang?
Well, there was convictions this week, and what we heard was that Kenneth David Clark, who is from Collibackie, he was sentenced to 5 years and 8 months after he pleaded guilty to the offences of conspiring to steal and commit arson. Bear in mind, and I'll explain just as we go on, part of these ATM robberies included stealing machinery from building sites, and then ultimately that machinery and vehicles were set on fire to destroy evidence. So that's where the arson charges comes from. A guy called Jamie McConnell, who's 31, from the Upper Hightown Road in Belfast, he was given 3.5 years for the same offences. A guy called Gary Kincaid, who's 36, from the Flush Road in Belfast, he was actually sentenced to 11 months for 2 charges of acts encouraging or assisting in burglary or theft. That actually related to him providing 2 vehicles that were used by the ATM robbers. And another guy called David McClurkin, who's from Temple Patrick, and he was sentenced to a combination order of 2 years on probation and 60 hours community service, which isn't a lot, for one act of encouraging or assisting offenders in burglary and theft. A lot of that applies to the machinery and things that were being used in relation to these robberies.
Some people might say that £2 million, almost £2 million, remains missing. Very little of this money has been recovered. Now, when we look at these sentences, now, I
I wouldn't look forward to 5 years and 8 months in prison, but Clark will never serve that.
No.
Some people might look at the economics of this, certainly wouldn't be me, and say it might be worth it.
Well, I have been speaking to people who would know this world very well, and they have said that the reason why there is so many of these ATM thefts is it is, from a criminal's point of view, almost like a perfect crime, because it is high value, high gains, high payback, and the risks are relatively low because, and I'll explain this in, I suppose, in the most simplest terms as hard as it was explained to me. They don't use weapons, so it's not an armed robbery. That carries a very severe sentence. They don't actually enter the premises. They don't threaten staff. They don't threaten, you know, anyone connected to it. Therefore, there's no aggravated burglary. There's no aggravated element to the charge. The only thing that they can be charged with is theft, arson, and in some cases then they're charged in relation to the damage that's caused to the walls and the cash machines. None of those offences carry big, heavy sentences like you would get if you did an armed robbery or if you committed an aggravated burglary. Say you go in to rob a bank and you threaten the people behind the counter. All of those carry a much heavier sentence than this. The fact is the prosecution are limited into what they can charge these people with, which is why you can see that none of these offences carry very heavy jail terms. So not that I'd be encouraging anyone to steal anything, but what I would say is that, you know, from a criminal's point of view, these gangs knew what they were doing and they knew that the risks, as they seen it, was probably worth taking because of the extreme amounts of money that were involved.
And they all pleaded guilty.
They did plead guilty. After a period of time, the offences, I think they've managed to beat this down. They had quite, you know, able defences. McLarkin was represented by Madden Finucane, and they did quite a lot of work in terms of the PPS, what they were originally saying during the bail hearings, and trying to discredit a lot of that because there was no CCTV or anything to back that up. So they did very well. I would say, you know, that there was none of them were unhappy with those sentences.
Is there anything which links the individuals in this gang together?
Yeah, there's a family connection between some of them, basically the Kincaids. So they're relatives. And so three of them, at least that I know of, are related through blood, and the other one I think is a friend.
Does this gang have previous?
There was no serious previous in terms of them, which is why, again, their sentences were so low. But I mean, if you look at what they were charged with, these were just the offences that the prosecution could prove in relation to that. For the guts of over a year, these people were basically pulling cash machines out every other week. And in some cases, they were doing what they called a double dunter one. They were getting two cash machines in one go. So, you know, if you go to a supermarket or a garage and there's cash machines side by side, they were taking them both. So just to what happens in relation to these is they identify a location where there's a cash machine, and then they identify a very nearby building site or maybe a premises that sells plant machinery, something like that, because you don't want to be driving a digger, you know, miles. And all of these, obviously, the gang would have had to have capabilities to be able to drive these things to start off with. I mean, I couldn't drive a digger. I don't know if you can drive one. I'm from the city, you see. You're maybe a country man. You might know how to drive a digger.
I can't drive a digger, but quick inquiries do indicate rather quickly that these people, this is their family trade.
Yeah. So they could drive diggers, and they steal a digger from very nearby. You take the digger to the scene and you use it then to remove the cash machine from the wall. This is not sophisticated. You basically ram it at it and you pull a cash machine out. Then they either had other vehicles which were stolen, which would have been either those sort of flatbed style trucks, pickup trucks, or in some cases they had transit vans that had the roof cut off so that they could drop the cash machine down into the transit van. Then off they go into the night, and these things happened at, you know, 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning, 4 in the morning, when they would assume there wouldn't be an awful lot of people around. Again, because an aggravating factor in this was, say, someone got injured, someone got in the way, say they crashed into someone where they were fleeing, that would have been an aggravating factor in it. So they're done in the middle of the night when there's nobody around, and then off they went. And what I was told is that they were targeting these cash machines on bank holidays, on times when they knew that they were full to the brim, basically, and they knew what day and what time these things were filled. And then they were targeting them quite shortly afterwards to make sure that the cash machine was full to the brim when they were getting it. And a lot of them hold about 90, 100, over 100 grand. So if you're lifting two of them, you're getting maybe 200 grand, 250 grand, you know, in one go.
It's not for me to editorialise, but you do wonder going forward, if we want to have this facility in villages and outside of the main cities, and if the sentences are relatively low and if the prize is, if it's relatively easy.
I'm not sure it's easy. You need an awful lot. I mean, first of all, you need to know how to drive diggers. You need to be able, the capability to do that. And then taking these things apart is not the easiest. You need quite a lot of equipment and machinery to get them, take them apart and then get rid of them. And then obviously getting rid of all the forensic evidence as well. It is quite, it's a crime that requires quite a few people. You know, you're not doing this on your own. And it requires quite a bit of expertise. And I suppose that they would have liked to pretend this is sort of like a victimless crime. You know, they're targeting Asda's, Tesco's, the money belongs to the banks, no one's getting hurt. But it wasn't a victimless crime, because in a lot of cases we know that there was like spars or centres hitting in like little rural villages. They were mainly around the Antrim area. So there was like Ballyclare, Ballymena, Templepatrick, Nuts Corner, Crumlin, and a lot of them local businesses, especially smaller family-owned businesses, were saying, look, take that ATM out, I just don't want it here. I don't want the risk that someone's going to drive a digger into my shop in the middle of the night, so take it away. And then you have people in rural communities that don't have access to cash under any circumstances. And, you know, in that sense, they're not victimless crimes. There's consequences. Like every crime, there's consequences to it.
In a sense, I think when some people think of ATM robberies, they get this idea that it's associated with the border and escaping across the border. But in fact, this was all around Antrim. And these people were pioneers of this.
Yeah, I mean, they had it down to a T. I mean, they had the whole methodology down to a T. One of the most, I suppose, probably the most audacious part of it was when they became emboldened. They were getting away with it for so long. And remember at the time, you know, I was reporting on these at the time, and we had people from, you know, the retail sector coming out and go, why can the PSNN not catch these people? How are they getting away? You know, in one stage, you know, it was happening once a week. And nobody was getting caught. And the police had to end up setting up a task force. And then one of the robberies that they did before these people got caught was they stole a digger from literally right beside Antrim PSNI station. Now, anyone who knows Antrim PSNI station knows it's one of the largest, most heavily fortified in Northern Ireland, because it was home to the Serious Crime Suite, where some of the most high profile and well known terrorist suspects would have been taken for questioning. So completely surrounded in cameras, high walls, the tightest security. They stole a digger. They drove it right round the perimeter of the police station to the Tesco at the back of it, and pulled the cash machines out of the Tesco there. And that, I think, was showing they were getting quite cheeky, quite cocky, and thinking that they were pretty much untouchable. There's another occasion when they took two cash machines out of a Tesco in Ballymena, and somebody seen them. I think it was somebody nearby had seen it out the window, phoned the police while it was happening. A patrol car is sent as these boys are making off and the digger's on fire. The patrol car starts following them. But what we were told afterwards, and this was widely reported at the time, was that the PSNI at that stage had a policy where they weren't allowed to speed and give high speed chases and go over the speed limit unless they believed a life was at risk, and they were doing so to potentially save lives. ATM robbers, there was no risk to life. So the patrol car was basically left in the dust. They abandoned the cash machines and they made off across a field. And what I was told was that one of them, because the patrol car could do nothing at this point apart from sit and watch them make off, one of them dropped his trousers and Chickley mooned the police as he was making off.
Which does add into the whole Robin Hood sort of image created around ATM robberies. But as we've talked about before on this programme,
they were causing thousands of pounds for the damage to businesses. The businesses then having to close while that damage is repaired. And then also it's just the image of the place. I mean, you know that cash machine as you're heading out to Derry that has the huge concrete bollards, which is actually almost like a tourist attraction now. People just go to see this crazy cash machine, where that was what the shop owner decided was the only way to stop it getting ripped out by ATM thieves.
Well, I've been out in the field covering ATM robberies and in the aftermath of a family shop, which perhaps employs many, many people locally and is used by an entire entire community and it's a hub for the community.
Yeah.
And it's been destroyed by an ATM raid. I also spent some time yesterday, believe it or not, pricing excavators and JCBs.
Well, they're expensive.
They're very expensive. I couldn't actually find the price of a brand new one. That seems a state secret. But you can, you can buy them second hand, and even second hand for a clean one, you're talking 60 grand.
I mean, I have no idea what the cost now. I'm not big, you know, the crime world and me and diggers aren't really, you know, don't really cross very often. But yeah, expensive bits of kit, which are then getting set on fire to destroy any forensic evidence. Obviously, there's cars being used, which are being set on fire. You know, there is victims in this and there is losers in this. I don't want to make it out like we're trying to say, you know, the ATM boys are great lads. There was other ATM robberies, another gang, a completely different gang, and they were doing it a different way. They were like breaking into shops and taking the back off the machines rather than ramming it in, and that obviously carries with it a whole different load of offences that you're committing there. So in relation to that, these ones, I mean, the money is still a lot. £160,000 we're told was confiscated or seized. The rest of that money, I have no idea where it is. But you would assume that the police did try to trace most of it, but that's as much as they managed to seize back again.
We know, and we've talked about it before in this podcast, Alison, that the PSNI, when they decide to concentrate on something for whatever reason, or when they're told to concentrate on something, they can do amazing things.
Yeah.
Now, if you're going to rob an ATM machine beside a PSNI station, if you're going to moon the cops, what you're going to do is you're going to annoy them.
Oh, aye.
And we know in cases like the tragic death of Lyra McKee when they were told, clamp down. We know from the murder of Ian Ogle when they were told, clamp down. They can do that.
Well, they did set up a task force because there was so much public pressure. I mean, I'm sure you remember at the time, and I remember too. You know, you had people like Glenn Roberts from, you know, those retail industries going, this is a disgrace. Like, why can these people not be caught? What are the PSNI doing? What are they doing? And then the industry themselves had to change, and they had to look at putting tracking devices inside the cash machines. They discussed all sorts of other things, like maybe putting dye, you know, if you put them the way they would have in cash box, it would mark the cash. And in relation to these, the police originally had believed that this gang were taking these cash machines to Farset, the industrial estate there at Farset off the Springfield Road. And that's where they said that they were cutting them open, because during bail hearings for some of the accused, I know definitely during a bail hearing for McClurkin, they said that police had expressed that they were opposing bail because witnesses in Farset industrial estate might be intimidated or threatened by this gang in relation to that. And the solicitor for McClurkin then had raised the fact that this was on a peace line and that there's cameras everywhere. There's some really high value businesses in Farset, so really tight security. Also, as you know, that's right beside the sort of West Circular, not peace line there. There's a lot of police cameras as well, because there used to be praying disputes and stuff there. And they weren't captured on any of them, because it's my understanding is they weren't taking them anywhere near Farset. They were taking them to a much more remote location, not too far, but out the other direction. And that's where they were cutting them up. And it wasn't in Farset. It would have been somewhere where clearly they knew there was absolutely no CCTV anywhere near the place.
Perhaps a rural location. Alison, before I let you go, what's the situation with ATM robberies now? There doesn't seem to be as many as there were.
There isn't as many, but they do still occur. They just occur much more rarely, I suppose, less often. This gang sparked a million copycat gangs, and we had other gangs that were operating along the border and then were disappearing across the border. We have other people who are still going through the courts charged with offences linked to ATM robberies. So, you know, it wasn't all being carried out by one gang. I think it was initiated by one gang who, and then others were like, we'll try and copy that. And so there's quite a few sort of gangs on the go in relation to these ATMs, but they do still happen. But I know that the industry themselves start looking at any new ATMs that were being made with trackers and all sorts of other things to try and clamp down on this, and also looking at where they were positioned, you know, so putting, as I said, stone bollards or whatever in front of it, something to prevent any kind of vehicle getting close to it. So it's not as easy for these gangs to operate as it once was.
Alison Morris, security correspondent with the Belfast Telegraph. Thank you very much.
These are eggs. Quick whisk, no risk, protein punch, power lunch, bake for dinner, easy winner, fed the lot, hit the spot eggs. And why pick up more eggs when you're shopping? Because there are more ways to enjoy them, like bacon and mushroom fried rice with poached eggs, delicious sautéed potatoes with spinach and eggs, or everyone's favourite, a simple cheese omelette for lunch. So versatile, so nourishing. And always choose eggs with a Board Bia quality mark for the highest standards verified at every stage. Eggs. Crack on.